This morning we're going to finish up our sermon series. It's going to go right in line with what Jeffrey just shared. So the Holy Spirit, I think, is moving already. Yes, Brianna will hurry up and finish this. She asked me how much longer this one was going to go. This is the last tree. We're on the third tree. We're going to finish this up. I'm really ADD, so staying on the same series this long is driving me nuts, but it's all good stuff. So we're going to stick with it. The third tree, we are looking at the three trees. Our new logo has three trees in it. We need to know what the expectations are for a church member. We kind of leave that in the ether, right? Let's not. Let me tell you specifically, if you're a part of Pine Drive, the three things that your pastor is looking for in you. We also need a process for discipleship. Somebody walks in the door, how do we get them to where we can say we have accomplished what we want to accomplish? What the scripture tells us to accomplish. That's where we find these three trees. Quick recap. First tree, come to church. Right? That's not rocket science. Here in the shadow of NASA, not rocket science. Come to church on Sunday. Remember we said that doesn't mean come to church every time the doors are open. That means come to church on Sunday. Be a part of the corporate gathering. Second tree, join a life group. Be a part of a small group of people. A small group of people. Now, I know that one comes with a little, a little trepidation. It's a little bit different. It's not a Sunday school class. You do more than just learn a Bible lesson. It's where you bear one another's burdens. It's where you pray together, where you confess to one another, where you do all those things that the scripture tells you to do, to experience as a church member. This morning, I want to jump into the third one. So quickly, Bob and I learned this morning that when I send him my PowerPoints, it kind of changes it a little bit. So it's not as smooth. We're just going to go with it. Just so we're keeping score, show him this next slide, Bob. Oh, hey, look at that animation. You got it. All right. So first, I've told you the first two trees, corporate worship and life groups. Everybody tracking? What exactly does that correlate with? It tells us how we are to love God and love each other, right? So we want to make sure we're doing those things. We come to church as a unified group to love God. We take part in small groups to love each other. That correlates with Scripture. We see that in the Great Commandment, where Jesus said, what is the greatest commandment? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Life groups, loving each other, that correlates with the new commandment. In John 13 that Jeffrey referenced, after he washed their feet, Jesus told them, I have a new commandment for you. Love one another as I have loved you. So we need to make sure we're doing that. Well, this third tree kind of finishes that up. The third tree is service. Serve. Serve. Again, maybe y'all were waiting on something exotic. No, serve. And that correlates with loving the world, loving everybody else. And that finishes up our great commandment. Remember in the great commandment, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. So these three trees are really just the great commandment and the new commandment, right? Nothing strange, nothing exotic. But we as a church, we need to make sure we're checking these three boxes. Because if you have a church that's not loving God, that's not a very successful church, is it? And if you have a church that's loving God but's not loving each other, I would argue you're not really loving God if you're not loving each other, right? If you have a church that loves each other but never loves anybody else, well, that's a given enough time, that's a church that's going to die and go away, right? We need to be checking these three boxes. The third tree, the thing that we're going to base all of our ministries around is corporate worship, life groups, and service. So what exactly, why do we serve? Why should we serve? I love that Jeffrey gave his example of serving in the Dominican. That's a big thing. You go and you save up money, you fly to another country. Why do we do that? We do that to be like Jesus. Y'all know Mark 10:45. I think I have it written there. Mark 10:45. The words of Jesus, he said about himself. He said, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's just pick that apart real quick. Jesus himself said of himself, I did not come to be served. Now, of all the people who have ever put on human flesh, only one has truly deserved to be served. That's Jesus. And Jesus chose not to be served. I was thinking about that phrase this week and about our culture today, just the culture of America, just the culture of suburban America. I've shared a picture on Facebook this week. It said that if me as a kid met my kids today, I wouldn't hang out with them because I think they were rich kids. You know, we have so much stuff these days. You know what I mean? Like, how much of our life is spent expecting people to serve us? We have a very fragile existence. If somebody says something wrong on Facebook, we're angry. If somebody messes up our hamburger, it's like the end of the world, right? How dare you? I asked for no tomatoes, right? Like, don't we do that, right? That's kind of how... No, you didn't do that. You were nice about it yesterday, Linda. But don't we live in this world where we just expect to have everything the way that we think it ought to be? Our world pushes us to be that way. I mean, we got half the country is mad because Cracker Barrel changed their logo, right? That one does drive me nuts. Not that they changed the logo. I go to Cracker Barrel. Last five times I went, it was almost empty. So all the people mad about it, don't go. If you really like it, go buy the pancakes. But we got half the country mad because somebody changed the logo of a restaurant you don't even go to, right? We spend all of our energy as Americans these days angry and angsty because things are not the way that we think they're supposed to be. Jesus came not to be served. This world, he said, hey, I am here not to be the one that has everybody give me everything that I want the way that it should be. It is so ingrained in our culture. I think the devil has really made an inroad in our culture today. We just don't know how to react when we are not, you know, the Queen of Sheba walking into the room and having people serve us. Even on any given church Sunday, it might be too hot, might be too cold, songs may be too fast, songs may be too slow. You know, donuts are in the wrong place. You know, that was this morning. We just find ways. I find ways. That's something I struggle with. You know, I mean, I forget sometimes. My kids don't exist to serve me. I mean, that's one of the reasons you have them, right? But just playing, kids, just playing. But sometimes I forget, and sometimes I take it out on them. We don't, as Christians, we reject that idea. As Christians, we understand that there is a worldview that says everything needs to be exactly the way I require it. And then there is a worldview that says I am here not to be served. As Christians, we choose this one. Or we should. And that is a daily process, a daily reminding that person who makes minimum wage, who wrote your name wrong on your Starbucks coffee cup, didn't do it because they hate you. It's because they probably can't spell your name, right? It's not that big a deal, right? We live in this world where we are so sensitive because we expect the world to serve us. I mean, don't you expect everybody on I-45 to drive exactly the way that you want them to drive? I mean, my wife calls me the world police. I've been guilty of that a time or two. Jesus came not to be served, but what? To serve. He came to serve. If anybody who has ever put on flesh had the qualifications to not have to be a servant, it was Jesus. And Jesus came to serve. as Jeffrey referenced in John chapter 13. I mean, imagine the situation where the Son of God, your rabbi, got down on his knees and he washed their feet. We're not talking American feet. We're talking dirty, stinky, 2,000 year ago Middle Eastern feet that never put on a pair of closed-toed shoes. We're talking man feet. I'd wash my wife's dainty little feet. We're talking Peter and James and John's feet, right? And he got down and he washed those feet. He was a servant. He came to serve. Interesting. I was looking at these words. The Greek, I like the Greek. I'm a Greek nerd. The Greek here, it says that he came not to diakathesai, instead he came to diakathenai. Y'all don't care what that means. Basically, the root of the word serve is where we get the word deacon. He came to deacon. Now, we've made that into a title, but you know what happens sometimes in Baptist churches? It's that there is an office now in the church called deacon, right? Everybody aware of that? Office called deacon? We have deacons here, great men, and I'm really glad that they're here. They help me a whole lot. Do you know that a perfect church wouldn't need any deacons? In Acts chapter 6, deacons were first instituted because the church wasn't taking care of each other. What if we're all supposed to be deacons? I'll get off of that. I'll leave it alone. I'm just saying, I found it interesting that was the word there. Jesus came to serve. He came to do. He did not just come to teach. We love to teach. Jesus did not come to hold seminars and classes. He was not really famous for that. There were a couple of times in Scripture where Jesus gave big sermons, Sermon on the Mount, the sermon after feeding the 4,000 and the 5,000. He would teach small groups, but really, what was he most famous for? Well, in Acts chapter 2, in the sermon on the day of Pentecost, Peter references what he was most famous for. Acts chapter 2, verse 22, when Peter began his sermon, he said, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst." And he goes on to talk about and share the gospel. Jesus was known not for what he taught, although he did teach wonderful things. When Peter was referencing Jesus, he was talking about what Jesus did. He was attested to you by signs and miracles, mighty works, wonders, and signs. Now, am I telling you to go and do miracles? Oh, well, I'm not saying that. I think God still works miracles, but if you find some person that claims to, you should probably run from them. Anybody claims to have healing that's not at Texas Children's, you should probably just shoot, okay? I'm just saying. But what the point is that Jesus was known for what he did, how he interacted with people. He was known for how he interacted with people. Book of Mark, he was known for not just being nice to a leper, but reaching out and touching a leper. You know how big a deal that was? Jesus was known because he got down on his knees and washed the feet of his disciples. Jesus was known because he would go and have a meal and show kindness to people who were on the fringes of society. He was known for how he interacted with the lost world. What do we want to be known for? I mean, I know like just of preachers and churches, I know lots of preachers and lots of churches just from my background, and I got a lot of preacher friends. I doubt they're watching this because they're not the one in the video, but they want to be famous. I mean, they want to be the next John MacArthur, right? They want to be the next Charles Stanley. They want to, like, I'm trying to talk Kyle into putting the video camera away. I haven't seemed to win yet, but there are some people that we want to be famous for how much we know. We want to be famous for how much we teach. You know, I want Pine Drive to be famous for touching some lepers. That's what I'd like to see, because that's what Jesus did. serving the community. Serving the community. We serve to be like Jesus. We also serve just to fulfill our call as believers. The book of Matthew, flip there if you've got your Bible. It's a long passage. Matthew chapter 25. These are, now my Bible's all in black and white, but these are red letters. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, starting in verse 31, it's a lot of scripture, so follow along. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, they will sit with Him on His glorious throne. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll place the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. And I'm keeping my hands down. In seminary years back, I learned that when you're reading that passage, if you do this, you make half the crowd goats and they don't like it. So don't do that. I heard of a pastor who did that one time and called half the crowd a bunch of goats. And so don't do that, Abby. I'll keep my hands down. The goats on the sheep on the right, the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Now, how exactly did he know that they were sheep? He said in verse 35, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him saying, "Lord, when did we see you this way?" I'm going to paraphrase. "When did we see you naked and hungry and sick and in prison?" Verse 40, the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me." That is black and white. That is scripture. Those are the words of Jesus. We can't get around that. Do you know how he knew who was a goat? Verse 41. Then he'll say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Now how did he know that they were goats? "For I was hungry and you gave me no food." Look, he's not saying, "Hey, you guys didn't sing the right songs in church. You guys didn't have the air conditioner on the right setting. You guys went to the wrong denomination church." He's not saying that. He's saying, "When I was hungry, you did not give me food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you did not welcome me. Naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me." Then they'll say, "Lord, when did we do this?" And in verse 46, he will answer them saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment and the righteous into eternal life. That's our call as believers, to love the world around us. To love the world around us in tangible ways. Well, he may, that guy at that corner, he may take that $5 and go buy beer. That's not really your place to decide. If he does, so be it. You can't do wrong doing right, so go do right. I can't. He says it's for gas money. It's probably for drugs. It's not really on you to make that judgment. Well, that's not very wise, Corey. Matthew 25, take it up with Jesus. We're supposed to be doing tangible things for actual people. And you know what I've learned about Dickinson in the last 2.5 months? There's a lot of physical need here. Do you know what exists in Dickinson, San Leon, Bay Cliff, Texas City? You know what exists here? There are a lot of folks who don't have enough to pay some bills. There are a lot of folks who sometimes need a meal. There are a lot of folks who are strung out on drugs and need help getting off of those. There are a lot of families that are broken. There are a lot of kids that need help. There is no shortage of opportunities for us to be the sheep. Bold question. Is Pine Drive famous in the community for how it loves those in need? You guys have been here longer than me. You answer that. Answer may be yes. If it is, praise God. Come and tell me. Say, "Well, we're not known for being mean to them." Well, Jesus didn't say you were mean to me. He just said you didn't give me food when I was hungry, right? This is a tough passage. I'm laying it right in your lap this morning. I'll keep my head down. Laying it right in your lap this morning. This is how you prove that you are of God. The book of James, chapter 2, you guys know the passage. It says, faith without works is dead. We are not saved by our works. Nothing we can do can ever make us right with God. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith, but he doesn't have works? Can that faith save him? Well, that's a nice philosophical and theological question. Let's keep going. If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, hey, go in peace, be warm and be filled, without giving them the things needed, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. We're not saved by works, but our works prove that we're saved. And God calls us, and James reminds us, that we are to be tangibly loving the world around us. We are to be tangibly loving the world around us. So that means that this new pastor y'all have got is going to be talking a lot about service. Now, the goal is to find a way to make sure that we as a church are serving. Not to get four or five people who are excited about it. I know that some of you guys are ready, and I'm excited about that. My goal as pastor is to get all of us on board to do that. We need to be a church who is known for how we love people who are not in our church. At my house, we have two different kinds of activities. We have chores, we have jobs. Do you know the difference in a chore and a job? A chore is something you do just because you live in that house. Every night, they take turns. One kid, what are our nightly chores? One of them unloads the dishwasher. One of them loads the dishwasher. And the other one puts away food and wipes the counters and zoops the floors with the zoopy, the little vacuum cleaner. I don't know how you spell zoopy, but that's what it is. That's a chore. You live here. That's what you do, right? Then there are some jobs. There are some other things. Dawson took over mowing the yard this summer. We had an agreement for a certain trade to occur with some money to trade there. Lois has some jobs that she did this summer. Linda has some jobs that she did this summer. And we traded their job for some money, right? There's a difference in a chore and a job. I fear that in churches my whole life all across America, that we have been duped into believing that sometimes doing chores is the same as serving the world around us. If there's work to be done around the church, if you're a part of this church, let's go all the way back to the first sermon. What is a church member? You are a part of a body. You're not a member of a club. You're a part of a body. Sometimes there's work to be done around here that just has to be done. That's just because you're a part of the family. I want us to get in the habit of doing what needs to be done around here, obviously, but not checking that box in our heart saying, hey, I have served like Jesus until I have served somebody outside this church. See the difference? In fact, if you have to choose between coming up here and vacuuming the floor or going and helping somebody down the road, let the floor be dirty. Jesus isn't worried about this carpet. Let the floor be dirty. Now, hopefully we do both, right? Nothing wrong with a clean floor, right? But if we have to prioritize, let's prioritize serving the outside world. Let's prioritize loving the world outside of this place. y'all tracking with me? So what's our priority list? Priority list. This is how we're going to do ministry moving forward. This sermon series is a little bit different. If you're a visitor, we're kind of restating our vision for the church. A priority list. Number one, corporate worship, our first tree. Let's be in the habit of valuing our corporate worship, our Sunday service. And for that, we're going to try to put on the best Sunday service that we can. Second is prioritize, and we'll jump ahead of that. Second is prioritizing life groups. That means being a part of a small group. You can jump ahead past that, Bob. I skipped over this slide. Being a part of a life group. Find a small group of people. We've already trained some leaders this week. Hopefully in the next week or two, we'll make those leaders known to you. And I'm going to ask you to split off into small groups that meet in people's homes where you pray, you confess, you study some scripture, you love one another. If you have to choose between that and Sunday school, choose your life group. If you have to choose between that and Thursday night Bible study, choose your life group. Prioritize being in the same, being in life with people. And then third, service. So what exactly am I asking you for? Here's what I'm asking you for. This is about these last three trees. These three trees have been kind of loose, right? Come to church. Hang out with other people. Here's what I'm asking when it comes to service projects. What if everybody in this church committed to do one act of service a week? Just one, on purpose. One act of service a week. You start to think, well, that's not that big a deal. What do you mean by that? It could be anything. I was at Whataburger in Friendswood a week or two ago, and I had my headphones in. It was early. I wasn't feeling great. I wanted to be left alone. One of those days. You know, I'm always nice to everybody. Sometimes you just want to be left alone to eat your pancakes, right? And I had my headphones in, and this nice old man walks up. He saw my headphones. He didn't interrupt me. He just patted me on the shoulder, and he set a little marble cross down on the table and walked away. He smiled. I could have pulled my earbuds out and said, hey, I'm a preacher. I love Jesus too. And then done the whole thing. That would have been weird for both of us. So I kept doing what I was doing. I took his cross. But the thing is, I needed that. It lifted my spirits. That's small. Just handed me a cross, patted me on the shoulder, and gave me a smile. So it could be anything from that to working an 8-hour shift at the pregnancy center. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, let it be on purpose. Let us be a church filled with people who wake up in the morning saying, I get to serve like Jesus today. How can I make it happen? If we do that once a week, for one, it won't go once a week, because once you get in the habit of service, it becomes contagious. But if we all just, let's just do some math. I mean, we've had about 100 people here the last month or so. Let's say just half of you are willing to take this challenge. 50 people for 52 weeks. How many is that? Pulling out the math. That's over 2,000 acts of service. That's just doing one a week. That's just half of us. Can we do that? What starts to happen in a community when one little church does over 2,000 acts of service on purpose? Hoping for opportunities to share the gospel. Hoping to just be like Jesus. What if we ask our life groups? Let's say our life groups. So those are small acts of service. Let's say we split off into, 10 life groups. And we ask our life groups to plan one group service project a month. Well, suddenly you got 10 groups once a month. What is that, 120? 120 medium-sized acts of service. And what if once a quarter we as a church planned a big community-wide outreach event? Or not outreach, not a sneak you in here and share the gospel with you. Those are good, but I mean an act of service where we are serving people tangibly. Well, suddenly we've got over 2,000 small acts of service. We've got over 100 medium acts of service. We've got 4 big, large acts of service. Suddenly, after a year or two, our church is then known as a church who loves people. Isn't that what we want? We want to be a church that loves people, tangibly loves people. You know what's going to happen? What was the last phrase in Mark 10:45? It says that he came not to be served, but to serve, and the last one, and to give his life as a ransom for many. As a side note, some crazy heretics are trying to say that Jesus didn't die for everybody with that verse. He died for everybody. But he came to give his life as a ransom. Do you know what happens when you start serving people? You get taken advantage of. You cannot be like Jesus and not be taken advantage of. If you're living in a life where you don't allow people to take advantage of you, you cannot be like Christ. We shouldn't seek out to be taken advantage of, but it's going to happen. You've got to give your life away. You cannot be like Christ and keep your life. You've got to give it away. You've got to give it away. So, it's been a little bit different as sermon series go, but this is going to, Melanie, you can make your way to the piano. This is going to be the framework for Pine Drive moving forward. These three trees. Are you taking part in corporate worship? Yeah, we'll try to keep an eye on you. If we notice that you've missed a few weeks, I'll try to pop in on you and just say, hey, we missed you. Make sure everything's okay. If you're coming to some other ministry, but you're not coming to corporate worship, something's out of balance. Right? Are you a part of a life group? Are you allowing people to love you and lift you up? And then third, are you serving? And how can I as a pastor and we as a church help facilitate service? These are going to be our three foundations. You can start playing, Melanie. These are going to be our three foundations moving forward for every ministry in this church. So I have some challenges for you. I'll just call it like I see it, if that's okay. Some of you have heard these three trees, and you are excited. Praise God. I would love to see you at this altar asking God to bless Pine Drive and to bless this vision that has come from His Word moving forward. There are some of you here this morning who are willing but afraid. I've talked to enough of you, I just know you're willing, but you're a little nervous. Can I counter that with some scripture? God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I appreciate your willingness. I would love to see you at this altar this morning dealing with that fear, asking God to cast out the spirit of fear. There's also maybe some here this morning who have just said, that's new. That's different. I'm not doing it. Why don't you leave that rebellion at the altar? Why don't we repent of that sin? And let's all move together as one body. As one body. I think we've all got something to deal with this morning. Have you been serving like Christ? If not, will you make that commitment? Have you been giving your life away as a ransom? Have you been giving your life away like Jesus did? Would you, as Jeffrey said, would you read John 13 and commit to picking up your towel so that we can open up doors for the gospel and see God do great things in this community? I know that He wants to, and I'm excited to see what He'll do. Tell you what. Let's all stand together. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll sing. And we'll give you an opportunity to deal with God. Father in heaven, we love you. We thank you for your word. God, you have called us to be like your Son. He has ransomed us and He has purchased us. And Father, we give our lives to Him in service. Help us to be like Jesus. Help us to get down and pick up our towel and to wash some feet. Lord, forgive us for those times that we have made our life about being served. Lord, help us to serve and follow the example of our great Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that you would touch our hearts this morning. If there's one here who is excited, Lord, I pray that you would work in that excitement and do great things moving forward with Pine Drive. Father, if there's one here dealing with fear, I pray that you would help them to leave that fear at the altar. and to trust in your word that says you do not give us that spirit of fear. Lord, if there's some who have dug in their heels and refused to change and to move forward, Lord, I pray that you deal with that as well. Father, we love you. You are a great God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.